Good afternoon. This is Pete Peterson, Dean of the Pepperdine School of Public Policy, welcoming you here to another Davenport discussion. This one is with two esteemed American statesmen and men of faith, Tony Hall and Frank Wolf. We are preparing for tonight's event at the School of Public Policy, Faith Across the Aisle. But for those who are not able to join us this evening, we thought it'd be a great opportunity to talk a little bit about the substance of tonight's conversation, which is really the relationship that found men of different political backgrounds working together through their shared faith. Tony and Frank, it's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. Glad to be with you.
Good to be here. Thank you.
So why don't we begin with just a little bit. We're going to have your bios up on the podcast website, but if you could tell a little bit, Frank, with you first, a little bit about your political background and experience.
I went to Penn State, Georgetown Law School, worked for a congressman, worked for a cabinet secretary, ran for Congress in 1976 and lost, ran again in 1978 and lost again, and then ran in 1980, and more because of President Reagan, God elected, served in the Congress for 34 years.
Mm. And Tony?
I was in the Peace Corps for 2 years and came home, was a businessman, small businessman, and was in the state legislature for 10 years, state representative, then a state senator, ran for the Congress, and was in the Congress for 24 years, and then I was a U.S. ambassador to Rome for 3.5 years.
Hmm. Tell us a little bit about your faith journeys individually and how that shaped your view of politics and your own decision to enter the arena.
Well, I had wanted to be in Congress since I was in third grade of elementary school, so I didn't. It really was not so much I love history and would read biographies of Washington and Jefferson, and I come from inner city Philadelphia, but I just fell in love with government and history. I became a believer. I always went to Sunday school in a mm-hmm. little church in downtown Southwest Philadelphia in a rough neighborhood, and accepted Christ at a Billy Graham rally mm-hmm. When he gave the invitation to go forward. I wanted to, but you know, if you ever been at one, they say, and the buses will wait, and
yes.
I just didn't go forward. And I said, if I ever had an opportunity, I would. And then we go to Presbyterian Church in Vienna, Virginia, and we had a guest speaker, and he gave an invitation, and my wife ran up to the front, and I ran after her. And pretty much, if she had not, I probably would not have, and made a public affirmation. And then when I got to Congress, through the prayer breakfast and other things, we joined with Tony and a small group, Dan Coats, who's a senator from Indiana, Bob McEwen, who was a congressman from Ohio. And we've been meeting for 34 years.
Hmm. Tony?
I was kind of a rascal, really. I didn't become a believer until I went to the Congress.
Yeah.
And in my freshman year, I became a believer. And soon thereafter, a friend introduced me to a large audience. And he said, now I want to introduce Tony Hall. He's a U.S. congressman and a Christian. And some people started to laugh. And an old man down front, he was squirming in his seat. And he couldn't take it much longer. And he hollered up. He said, make up your mind, buddy. You can't be both. So that was my first experience of being a believer in the Congress of the United States. No, I grew up kind of rough, and my family, you know, I had two older brothers, and we grew up in sports, and we didn't really go to church, and, you know, it was not part of our life.
Right, right.
And I went to Congress. I was successful, but I knew something was missing in my life. So I went on a search. I didn't know what I was searching for, but I knew it had to do with God, but I didn't know what. And I found him in this person of Jesus. It's a long story, so I won't go into it. And after I found him, I joined this group. And my friend here, Frank Wolf became my friend. He's a Republican, I'm a Democrat. We kind of circled each other at first because we didn't know much about each other and we didn't know how to do it. But we found that when you pray together, it's hard to get mad at one another. When you read the scripture, when you love the Lord, when you ask him to work in your life, when you really don't discuss issues, political issues, at first, leave them out of the room, out of the discussion. Become believers and by reading the scriptures and getting to know each other and traveling together, and our wives got to know each other. After a while, what happens is you begin to trust each other.
Yeah.
When you begin to trust, what happens is God begins to work in your life and you begin to say, you know, we have some things that we can do together here.
Yeah.
There are some things that we have in common.
Yeah.
And that's when you start to see a real difference.
Now, I want to get into some of the specific policy areas and things that brought you together, but I want to touch on something that maybe some of the listeners wonder about, and that is the general climate of people of faith, what it's like to be a person of faith in Congress. I think a lot of people, certainly when you look at news headlines or TV shows and movies about life in Washington, whether it's House of Cards or others, think that it's really a difficult place to be a person of faith. But as someone who knows people like yourselves and others who live and work in D.C., I know there's actually a real vibrant faith community there. And so I wonder if you could talk just a little bit about what your experience was in connecting not just the two of you, but with other people of faith, whether it be Bible studies or otherwise, while you were both in Congress.
Well, there are a lot of people of faith in the Congress and both political parties. Well, the Congress, the way it's set up today, the relationships are not as deep because the Congress doesn't meet as often, and very few members of Congress live in Washington anymore. Both the campaign committee of the Democrats and the Republicans have urged members to stay and keep their families back at home. But for the longest period of time, most members with families lived in Washington, and so there are a lot of good people on both sides. There's a new book out by Virginia Fox where she covers a group of members on both sides of the aisle and their faith. And the prayer breakfast has both Republicans and Democrats. And that's generally not the story, though, that gets the coverage. So I think there are a lot of good people, a lot of good people of faith. I think the environment is such that when you hear a story about Congress or government, it's usually the negative, the attack, the condemn, the complain, the MSNBC, the Fox News, slash and burn and attack, and that's the big story. If it bleeds, you know, they cover it. If it's a good story, they just, you know, and also I think there's sort of a negative impact, a feeling about the media with regard to the faith community. And so those stories that used to be covered are not covered.
Right.
But there are a lot of good people, again, in both sides of the aisle.
Yeah, and Tony, you were saying you came to faith while you were in D.C., and so talk a little bit about, was it like seeing a different side of the D.C. or Congress when you came into connection with other people of faith, or what was your feeling as you got more involved in that, the faith
community?
Well,
that was amazing. I became a person of faith and a believer, and the first group that reached out to me as a Democrat were Republicans, and I thought, this is amazing. That these Republicans are now wanting to talk to me and wanted me to come to their Bible class. And I'm thinking, you know, I just accept Jesus and now the Republicans are talking to me. Now, what is it? I have to become a Republican? this is too much.
That's in the Bible. You know that. You know, it's Leviticus somewhere, but it's an Old Testament verse, I'm pretty sure.
there are a lot of good things that go on in the Congress and the Pentagon, the Justice Department. There are people that are meeting, that are praying together.
Yeah.
People in this country don't read about it. They don't hear about it. We don't brag about it.
Right.
We're not on commercial TV talking about it. What you see is the House of Cards.
Yeah.
You see, anytime you see a movie about a congressman, I mean, it's about what a bum. He's a thief. He's a murderer. He's an adulterer.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always something bad.
Yeah.
So, and it's not the case. I mean, I agree with what Frank said. There are many good people. They're very quiet.
Yeah.
They care about people. They care about their job.
Yeah.
They love the Lord.
Yeah.
And they're doing good work, but they don't brag about it.
Let's talk then about what brought you together just on some of the issues you worked on first in Congress and then beyond. Is it fair to say that the issues that you worked together on were determined in large part by your faith, or the issues were already there and because of your faith you more gravitated towards them?
No, I think the faith kind of drove us to that. In 1984, Tony went to Ethiopia during the famine, which many people don't remember, but it was a very bad famine. Mm. And so Tony urged me to go, and I went. Life-changing experience. We won't go into it. And then in 85, Tony took a trip, and I went with him to Romania during the Ceausescu time. And it's just a lot of these issues. Some of them are outright faith. You know, Jesus talks about, I was hungry, you fed me, and things like that. But it's kind of come together. There isn't a faith program,
right?
But I think your faith drives you to see things. A mentor to me was Chuck Colson.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to call Chuck a lot and talk over issues, prison reform. Well, that's not the traditional. But so your faith opens your eyes up to see things that normally you may not have seen if you didn't have the faith.
Yeah. More on a personal note, but Colson and his writings, Kingdoms in Conflict, and others really did influence me a lot. And I participated as an Angel Tree volunteer for Prison Fellowship through a couple of the churches I've been involved in.
I would encourage you to read his latest book. It's called My Final Word.
Okay.
It came out about 3 months ago. It is a collection of all his memos. He obviously has been dead for 5 years.
Right.
That had never been published.
Oh, my gosh.
They're very, very prophetic.
Wow.
It's called My Final Word. Yeah.
Well, I'll do that, and I appreciate that. Tony, your connection to these issues and how your faith either, and certainly it sounds like this trip to Ethiopia as well, was something that really opened your eyes, or?
Well, I think what happened was I saw all these people die in Ethiopia one morning. And then what happens is you see this and then you begin to read the scriptures, and the scriptures become more alive.
Mm.
Because what happens is that, you know, there's 2,500 verses in the Bible that deal with the issue of the poor, the sick, the hungry, the people in prison, the orphans, the widows. It's the second most talked about theme in the Bible. God is very clear in that he wants us involved.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say, you know, I think it's a good idea you ought to think about the poor.
Yeah.
He doesn't say that.
Yeah.
He's very clear on what he says.
Right.
And so just before I went to Ethiopia, a mentor said to me, he had been working with me for a while. He would come into my office. We'd pray. We'd talk. We'd read the Bible. And he said, Tony, don't you think it's time that you start to bring God into your workplace? I said, oh, my gosh, how do I do that? I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to wear God on my lapel just because I'm a politician. I know what you're talking about, but I don't know how to do that.
Mm.
Then I went to Ethiopia, and then as I began to read the scripture, then I began to think, this is how I can do it. I can concentrate on these humanitarian problems, and I don't have to brag about it or talk about it. I just do it, and then maybe we can show a sermon and not speak a sermon.
Right.
And I heard a man say the other day, the Bible covers a lot about persecution. And he said the Bible was written by people who were persecuted for people who were persecuted.
Mm. Which can open up a whole new discussion about what does it do for those that don't feel persecuted. But that's a whole other, that'll be another podcast at some point. A couple minutes to go. I wanted to, I just wanted to touch on two things. One is you are both men of faith who have run for office. Again, you've entered the arena. That there's a certain perception, I think, of politics, even by those of faith, that it's kind of a dirty business. But what you have both realized in your own political careers, much less what's happened since you have been in office, is that there are things you can only do in office. And I wondered if you could just speak for a little bit about what it's like to be an elected, in this case, congressman, and the the rights and responsibilities that are given to you as people of faith that can only be carried out by people in your position.
You can make something happen today.
Right.
You can get on the floor of the House and you say, I want to pass this bill, and this bill is going to do this, and it's going to help 150,000 people eat. Hmm. It's going to help these people be free. It's going to help these people not be enslaved. It's going to immunize 1.5 million children. And you can do that within a few minutes. Hmm. That's what you can do.
Yeah.
Martin Luther said, we need to send our good people into the church. We need to send our best into politics. I believe that. Mm-hmm. You can make something happen now, right away.
Yeah.
And we're not sending our best into politics.
Mm-hmm. Frank?
We need to do that.
Yeah.
Luke, to whom much is given, much is required. You're given this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I think I used to tell my staff, one of the great things about this job is you can watch 60 Minutes on a Sunday night and come in on a Monday and do something about it. Mm-hmm. So I think there's an opportunity at that time to do. You can do a lot of things outside, but I think you can do some pretty special things if you're willing to pay the price.
I want to conclude just with your relationship. I honestly don't know how unique it is that two people who served a congressman have maintained their friendship after office, but maybe you could speak a little bit to that and just how your friendship and your faith together as brothers in Christ has matured since you've been in office.
Well, we talk to each other often, and we still get together and pray together. Our wives know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Frank calls me often about, you know, he's got a project or something, a letter that he wants me to be on. We've got lots of projects that we're working on. I mean, I'm still working on humanitarian aid. He's still working on trafficking in women and religious persecution of people in the world. And so we join forces on doing a lot of things. So all the stuff, we're going to be working together the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
And he's always calling me about a new idea. And half the time, I don't know if he's crazy or not. But but he is such a bulldog. I mean, he's the guy that you want on your side if you're going to be in a fight. Because he grabs a hold of the issue and he never stops. I mean, he's the kind of guy you want in your corner.
It was unique, and I think it is unique in the sense that, you know, Tony actually... once I was in a tough race, not too long, and he said, let me do a letter to all the Democrats telling them why they should. He gave a contribution, I think it was $1,000, if my memory serves me, to another time. And so,
it's more than that.
I didn't know. And so I think on the floor when we would come, I remember when the most favored nation trading status issue was up.
Right, for China.
And God bless Iran. No, this is for Romania.
Okay.
Tony and I, we passed it in the House. The business union was fighting us in the Senate. We both walked over to the Senate floor because we have that privilege, and we lobbied on the Senate floor as the vote was coming up. And so I think when people saw us, and I had a pretty difficult vote where I broke with my party a couple of years ago, and he came over. I talked to him before the vote. Many times I talked to him before I talked to my leadership. He stood on one side, and Dan Coates stood on the other side, and I cast the vote, which was a difficult vote. So it's been special. It's been good. It's been.
Well, that's a perfect segue because this has been special, and I really do appreciate both of you coming here to Pepperdine. Very excited about tonight's event. Just wanted to say to the listeners, thank you for listening, and please stay tuned to the Pepperdine School of Public Policy website for future events just like this. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.